You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I had a Run DMC tape. I had a little bit of the hip hop.
What was your first tape? Do you remember your first tape? I remember my first tape.
Well, you know what? I had the. I know we had tapes, but I actually, and it's going to make me sound real bougie, but we did the Columbia Music Club. So I remember. I remember what my first.
You would get the little tabs, and you would get to order them. I remember those.
Yeah. And honestly, I think I remember that our first CD that my brother and I got was Madonna's self-titled first album. That was one of the CDs we got. And then I think, and I remember the ones I got where you get like 7 free CDs or whatever. And I got,
right.
And I still, I honestly, this is sad that 6-year-old Joey and current Joey still listen to these CDs, which is Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms. Just still one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, that sure is great.
Billy Joel, Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and 2.
Love some Billy Joel.
Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA.
You guys like hanging out by the ocean? Yeah!
And I think some AC/DC. I think I've got a couple AC/DCs in there. So, yeah, I'm pretty white. Pretty white. Speaking of white,
wait a second. Before we get to that, have you packaged all those to hand off to Augie? Like, that's like a father-son moment where you're like, Augie, I'm handing you my Columbia tapes. Bruce Springsteen, AC/DC, Madonna, the classics.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, I'm you know, as we spoke last week about the heavy metal 4-year-old stuff, I'm trying to get him into that stuff, but he's always just, you know, he keeps going back to his favorite song, which is Rascal Flatts, Life is a Highway from the Car soundtrack.
That's hey, Dad, how come we always take it?
Well, let me tell you, Augie, we're not gonna take it.
No! We ain't gonna take it!
Segue away, my friend.
Well, I was just gonna say, speaking of white guy stuff, if you are a...
We're not gonna take it.
walked into that one. If you are a local of Los Angeles, especially in the Hollywood area, you will be familiar with the Magic Castle, which is just a big mansion filled with old nerds that probably have ponytails and live in squalor, but they're really good at card tricks. And I love it. I just think the Magic Castle is rad. And you have to know somebody to get into it. You can't just call and make a reservation. You have to have an invitation from a member of the Magic Castle. The way it's decorated is it kind of looks like the Haunted Mansion from Disneyland. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kind of old timey, you know, atmosphere stuff. There's a an old piano that is like a ghost plays it, so you can make small requests. Be like, hey, play you know, New York State of Mind. And then there's obviously someone.
Would a ghost actually play some Billy Joel?
Oh, yeah. For
bottle
sure.
Red. Bottle of Red. Bottle of White.
Bottle of White. So, yeah. Like, if they don't know the song, because it's a person on the other side. It's a spoiler, but there's a person on the other side of the wall. And I think it's like a two-sided piano. So you're seeing the piano that no one's sitting at. So they're on the other side of the wall playing it, and the keys get pressed down on the dummy piano, but it's as if a ghost is playing it. So you'd be like, hey, play, you know, whatever the hell, like, you know, play an Adele song, and then whatever song they can play, they'll play it. But if they don't know it, they'll just kind of mash their hand on the key. So it's just like, meh. Like, you know, I'm not going to play I'm not going to play Lizzo for you or whatever.
Hey, hey, ghost, play Twisted Sister. We're not going to take it.
You know what that means is I have to take some video tomorrow night at the Magic Castle.
Yeah, do it.
Of me requesting Twisted Sister. We're not going to take it. I'm in. I'll do it. You have to wear a suit. In the name of love. You know what that song's about, Joe? You'll never guess what Pour Some Sugar on Me is about.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Magic Castle.
You know, at the Magic Castle, you have to. There's a strict dress code. You have to wear a tie. You have to wear a suit. And when you walk into the lobby, there's like a bookshelf, and you say the magic word, and like the bookshelf kind of retracts. It's like a trick-a-door. There's a lot of that sort of shenanigan stuff. So anyways, excited about that. That's going to be cool. But before we get into football, NFL football, are you around people that talk about Succession all the time, Joe?
I do not line up. But that's the thing, is Succession is not the kind of show that they watch. And it feels like that's a thing that maybe – you know, for LA and for TV, we talked about the Emmys mm-hmm. last time, focus people that they're into Succession, and maybe I'm missing out.
Speaking of Succession, how about that Rams-Bucks game?
I don't know that I'm ready to go there yet. I don't know that I'm comfortable talking about that game yet. What'd you have for dinner?
Here's the thing.
What'd you have for dinner tonight, Joey?
Eventually, Joe, you're going to have to talk about the Rams-Bucks game. You can't just ignore
it. It's unavoidable. It's there at the end of the night, like that magician who you just don't want to talk to. Do you have any idea how I conjured up these three magic balls from my presence? No, and I don't care. It's a great trick. All right, let's start. Where do we start? What are we going to – I don't know.
How about we do some intros?
Yeah, you're right. You're always right. Joey, at Ellie Rams, Rins Rams. What's up, man?
Oh, hello, everyone.
I'm Joe.
I didn't see you there.
It's like Magic Castle. Poof. Joey-O. Joey the Jerk. I'm at 3K underscore. We're going to talk about football. I really don't want to. This game was very weird. It was very annoying.
Once it was 7-0, or no, let's say once it was 21-0.
I was going to say, keep going.
Was there any point at that game, once it became 21-0, that you, did you think that the Rams were going to win?
Yeah. No, near the end, when we got the pick six from, well, mm-hmm. I won't say going to win. That when they got the pick six, it was a game. And, mm-hmm. you know, here's the thing about going to win, is that's one of those, like, professor-type things, like, the Rams are the face of destiny. Like, get the fuck out of here. I don't do this. That, you know, when you get down by one score, it's possible. So I wouldn't say there was ever a point that I thought the Rams were going to win. I don't do the idea of going to win. But could win. We were within one score. And, you know, we had the momentum on our side, and we were that close. And I think... more than anything, I know we're going to get into various parts of this game. That was a testament to the Rams to be able to go down 21-0 and fight all the way back late into the game. And for Marcus Peters to pick off a very Jameis Winston pass and sacrifice himself going into the end zone to take him within, what was it, 5, I think, at that point? I think it was 45-40.
Yeah, because they did the failed two-point conversion that would have made it 3. Did you agree with the way with the quote from Michael Brockers where he said that they were served a slice of humble pie?
That's very Houston, Texas. That's very. Look, this game we got served some cold potato salad. You know, it was like a coleslaw with a chicken fried steak of a game. Michael, you seem not to be talking about the football, but just putting it in football terms. Yeah, this was like a pork chop of a performance. I don't know what to say. This was cold marinated ribs.
I like your Brockers. That's a good Brockers. I'm going to throw out some stats, and I know you are a encyclopedia of NFL knowledge, so I'm going to ask you a question. Here we go.
Gross.
Has there ever been a quarterback in NFL history that has thrown for 517 yards or over 500 yards? Let's say over 500 yards with a QB rating of 40.
I'm just picturing the ball. I'm picturing Jared Goff just lofting the ball directly into the hands of the defense softly so I can be brought in with comfort. I'm going to say no. I don't see how that's possible.
So if we're just going to break down the game, I think a good way to talk about it is let's just talk about the play selection real quick.
There's no good way to talk about it. There's no good way to talk about
well,
it.
Well, you know what? This is just going to be the way we're going to talk about it. So the
Rams. Pour some sugar on me.
In the name of love.
In the name of golf.
So old baby hands Jared Goff threw the ball. Old
baby hands.
68 times.
He threw the ball 68 times, man. How weird is that? How weird. Let's point this out. That's tied for the third most in NFL history for a single game passing attempts. That's really, really weird.
It was weird. Here's a stat I don't understand. The team passed for 490 yards, but Goff passed for 517. Is that an error that I'm reading?
And somehow Todd Gurley passed for like 80 of those. I mean, that's not true, but it doesn't matter. That's just, what a weird game.
Yeah. So he was sacked twice, which I'm kind of surprised that actually the way the defensive line played, that he was only sacked twice for 27 yards, which is kind of a lot.
That's a good point, though, and that's something we should give Jared Goff credit for. He's very good at maneuvering in the pocket to get a little bit of space to operate. That's one of his better skills. We saw it a lot. He's not a mobile quarterback, but he's very good at that little, what R. Kelly would call a 1-2 step. Mm-hmm. Where he can hit his 1-2 step slide and open up into passing lanes. He's very good at that.
Yeah, he's an enigma that Jared Goff. So he had himself a day. I guess we could talk about his turnovers because that's a huge part of this game. And I know we don't want to talk about it. Me being a Jared Goff stan, I don't want to talk about it. But he did turn over the ball.
Are you
more times.
Joey, here's a question. Mm-hmm. You're still a Jared Goff stan.
I think I'm ride or die, Joe.
Are we starting to lose, what's the right term here? Stanism. What? How much more can you accept of this before you start to question your stanery?
Well, it definitely was tested during this game, but
yeah,
I really liked the way he played in the second half.
Sure.
I really love his connection with Robert Woods. I feel like his receivers are great. I wrote a piece today that went up on the Untro Show Times about how I think the identity of the team right now is the trio of wide receivers. I think that
hard to disagree.
They're the best part of this team right now. They're fantastic. And I don't think there's any other team in the NFL that has a talent that is 1-2-3. Like the Rams, the Buccaneers happen to have a great duo, but then there's a dive. There's a little bit of a drop off because the next guy you have is a tight end, which is very common with a lot of NFL teams. And we don't have that. We have just three wide receivers, and it's just a really interesting dynamic. And I feel like Jared Goff really uses them to maximum effect sometimes. I think I'm just going to get back to the turnovers because I feel like the three interceptions weren't necessarily
the three interceptions.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got to talk about it now. What would you say of those three interceptions? Would you say all of them were bad throws? Would you say all three interceptions was, what was he doing? You can't make that throw. Jared Goff is a bum? Or was one or two or all of
one.
Them?
Yes, one was worse than the other two.
Because the way I kind of look at it is one of them is when he there was just a breakdown in the lineman coverage. And,
yep.
You know, he kind of panicked and he threw the ball on us. Yeah. Two of them were deflections.
Exactly. Right? One was worse than the other two, for sure.
And so it just felt like they just didn't have it. In the same way that the defense didn't have it. And Jared Goff isn't an interception machine. Like, typically, he doesn't turn over the ball as much as he did today. This is an outlier game. Probably. Oh, you know, can I just jump in and change the subject for like a hot second? I know we're talking, but we're just talking about dancing and are you familiar with Reggie Watts? Do you know the Reggie Watts?
I know Reggie Watts. I don't. I'm not cognizant enough to know the jokes as they come. Yeah.
Yeah. He does a lot of he does like music too, and it's kind of like hipster New York kind of hip hoppy dance boogie music disco bullshit.
That's a lot of words. That's a very niche market.
Yeah, but he's like funny, but he's also kind of he has the groove.
Yeah,
and anyways, I went to this thing. It was like a virtual reality thing over in LA the other day, and he was hosting it because he had this sort of virtual reality portal thing where it's called like Run In, and you're in a music shop, and then suddenly you're dancing, and you have these kind of little wands in your hand, and you could dance on the ceiling and on the wall. And it was really cool and interactive. And he's in the thing and you're wearing a virtual reality, like Oculus mask.
And I think that's called Thailand.
Right. Exactly. And so Def Leppard was there and they're playing. So, you know, he's doing it and it's kind of like the way you're just doing the dancing, you know, he's doing that. And so we signed up for it and I put the mask on and I'm doing it. And there's like a digital Reggie Watts that's within the virtual reality thing, and he's kind of doing the robot. And I really enjoy doing the robot. It's my favorite dance because I'm not awesome at dancing, but I can do the robot. So I
said, is that why? That's why. There's no other reason.
Right. Well, you know, it's fun. And I enjoy
We're it. Not gonna take kid.
Can't stop doing Twisted Sister dances.
Joey, somehow we started with this game. We haven't talked about it. Todd Gurley had five carries.
I know he did. He really did.
You make sense of this. You try.
I think we're being lied to. We talk about it all the time. We talked about it all summer. We talked about it even last postseason, even the end of last season when CJ Anderson was playing. But I think the really interesting facet was. Last year, they actually acknowledged that there was a problem, right? They were like, hey, Todd Gurley has a knee problem. We're going to give some carries to CJ Anderson. And that's what happened. And we didn't really complain much because we still had a running game, right? Because we had Meatball. So then this offseason happens. And then the third round, we select Daryl Henderson. And we're all thinking, okay, well, he's the new CJ Anderson. So great. And then Malcolm Brown comes up and he's like, okay, he's healthy. Fine. It'll be Malcolm Brown playing the role of CJ Meatball Anderson. And if that doesn't work, we got Daryl Henderson. And then we just have the ghost of Todd Gurley and maybe he'll play. But we're not getting any of that. What we're getting.
The ghost of Todd Gurley this weekend at the Magic Castle.
But instead of getting either of those three, Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown, or the ghost of Todd Gurley's knee, you know what we're getting? We're getting 68 passing attempts by Jared Goff. And we're getting 11 carries from the running game. Five of them from Todd Gurley, five from Malcolm Brown, and one from Cooper Kupp for -2 yards. Total, all of the yards of all of those numbers is 28 yards. Todd Gurley had the longest run of them because he had two touchdowns. So that's the defense. I know people got mad at me because I gave a bad grade to the run game because Todd Gurley had two touchdowns. But the fact that they got into the red zone and they had a chance to even score a touchdown had nothing to do with the way that they were running the ball. It just happened to be how they got into the end zone, so, you know.
Todd Gurley had one run for 13 yards. He had four other runs for a combined 3 yards.
Okay, so that's the question. Is our starting quarterback also our RB3?
I think here's the answer for all Rams games for the next month. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck we're doing. I have no clue. I have no idea if Jared Goff is going to throw 68 times. I have no idea if he's going to throw. I wouldn't be surprised if Jared Goff throws the ball 20 times next week and Daryl Henderson gets 20 rushes. I have no idea what we're doing. This makes no sense. And I'm just right. This is like a
roller coaster. Of love.
Watch out.
Roller coaster.
This is it. We're riding the golf coaster. I have no idea what we're doing, man. None of it makes sense.
I'm sorry. Let's turn that off there. So I got a question then. Is do you think that the Rams are playing right now as if they're down 21? At the beginning of the first quarter of the game?
Maybe. They ran more after they were down 21 to nothing than they did before. So I don't know.
Well, they haven't started any games this season. They haven't run the ball the first quarter.
The Rams have 6 points combined in the four first quarters they've played this season. That's tied for second worst in the NFL. We're talking about the Los Angeles Rams, who just went to the Super Bowl last year. I have no concept of what they're doing or what they're capable of on offense, and I'm comfortable admitting that. That's where I'm at, Joey.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting, but you know, we keep talking about the offense, and I'll ask you a question: is the biggest concern the offense or the defense that gave up 55 points to Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I tweeted about that, I think, in the fourth quarter. I think the difficulty is when you look at, you know, quarterback, running back, skill positions, we've got a 2018-2017 season to lean back on and say these guys are good. The offensive line was part of the problem this last game, and they really weren't, you know, the first three games. I know there was a concern, obviously, moving on from Saffold and John Sullivan going to Joseph Noteboom and Brian Allen, but they held up the first three games. They certainly didn't this last game. And when you talk about the defense was phenomenal the first three games. Absolutely horrible this last game. Somebody mentioned in one of the comments was, do you admit that the offensive line is an absolute concern now? Well, it wasn't the first three games. I don't know. You know, should we be concerned about the secondary? They got picked apart. You gave them the grade, the F grade in your report card, and people are like, how can you give them an F? Well, because they were horrible. That's why you gave them an F. I don't know, man. It's an interesting kind of dichotomy between how much do we pull out of this game, week four, and how much do we grade them on the previous 3 weeks? I don't know. I don't have a good sense of that, especially going into Thursday on a short week against Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be interesting. Would you say that the front seven of the Seattle Seahawks is weaker or stronger than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
That's a good question. I mean, Shaq Barrett obviously is giving people fits. Here's a better question for you. How do you feel about the offensive line? They held up well early on, and then we dealt with Austin Blythe going out and Jamil Demby coming in. This was their worst week. Rob Havenstein and Andrew Whitworth and the penalties, this was their worst week. How do you feel about the Rams' offensive line?
I definitely think it's their weakest position, for sure.
It feels like it coming out of that game, right?
It really does. It really does. And I know that the blame could always be put on the skill position players, but it was interesting that we talked about the offensive line a lot during the offseason, but we also talked about the linebackers. And
sure,
I'm not pleased with the linebacker unit. And I was a little bit surprised that Bryce Hager going out caused such a problem. That was a little bit of a shocker, but it felt like they really took a hit by not having him in there.
Do you think Johnny Munt was like in Sean McVay, coach, put me in, this is my chance. Johnny, you don't even play linebacker.
Put me in any position there, coach. I'll play kicker, punter, cheerleader. I'm Johnny Munt.
Anytime you need a field goal kick, I'm your man. Johnny, have you ever kicked field goals before? Absolutely not, but that doesn't matter.
I'll be the goalpost. I'll put my hands up. You just kick it in between, right above my head.
You tell me it's 4th and 7, I tell you it's July 4th. I don't know, man. It's one of those things where this game was so weird between 68 pass attempts, 5 rushing attempts for Todd Gurley. It was an anomaly of a game, and it's going to be an anomaly of a game by the time we get to the end of the season. It was just one of those things. It was like, how did we bait ourselves into this point? Why didn't we run the ball more? How come we didn't have a better game plan on defense? The Tampa Bay scored 3 touchdowns out of their first 4 possessions. I don't know. It was a weird situation.
And how about Marcus Peters? He gets burned by Mike Evans, just humiliated. Just torched for a touchdown. And then the next series, he does the pick 6 and then just gets his head broken going into the end zone. And I'm a little bit curious that he's not on the injury report, right? I mean, I know they haven't announced the full injury report.
Well, technically, he was added to the injury report with a face laceration because of the cut that he suffered on his face, which if you saw, he had a cut on the left side of his face. How is he not on the injury report with a concussion?
So he's not currently or officially in the concussion protocol?
Apparently not. He's on there with a face laceration. How is that possible? He got knocked the fuck out.
He did. He did get knocked the fuck out. That was scary. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. But yeah, man. So that game happened, and now we're 3-1.
what a great recap! That game happened.
But
well done.
But
Joey,
we're not totally done talking about it because we have to have a little bit of a segment of the show I like to call Goff Talk.
That game happened. That's my new segment. That game happened.
Yeah, let's move to Goff Talk.
Goff Talk with Joey. Where to? You decide. It's Goff Talk with Joey.
So there's an article in The Ringer that they ran today talking about how, I think it was last night actually, are his hands too small? Is he fumbling the ball too much? And it's a fair question because he has fumbled the ball 13 times in, you know, since the end of last season, like in, you know, about as many games. Like he is, it's not just an outlier, just, oh, you know, he got a bad hit there, or, oh, that was a lucky, you know, strip sack, or whatever sort of excuse you want to throw. He is definitely, it's becoming an issue. And
here's a question for you, Joey. Where in your issues with Goff does that ring?
I honestly think that's top three.
Wow. Okay.
And I think if you're fumbling the ball twice a game and one of those it goes to the other team for a touchdown, yeah, that's a concern. I'm worried about that. I don't like that. I don't want my quarterback to fumble the ball so the other team could just pick it up and run it in for a touchdown. It's not helpful, Joe.
How much of your issue is that it went for a touchdown against the Buccaneers, but it didn't against the Saints? Do you think Jared Goff needs to grease the referees? Hey, wise guy. Hey, sorry. We put a little timeout on the fumble there, and we kill off this 80-yard return.
I get you a 40 of Coors Light. See?
Yeah. Who's the guy that does it? It's not Goff. It's not Johnny Munt. Who's the guy that's like, hey, black and white, what do we say? We put a little 40 on the side, call a timeout on this.
I think it's their trainer. It's
Scott.
Yeah. Okay. So we
talked. It's so ridiculous. It's so stupid.
He puts on a fedora. And then they're just like kind of blowing a slow saxophone song. He's like, hey there, Stripes.
Yeah. Hey there, Stripes. Say, Stripes, why do I pull steroids in this guy? You look the other way. I send you a little PBJ on the side. Hey.
I says, you didn't see nothing, I says.
Scrams.
And make like a shadow and get out of here. So, Goth.
Make like a sheep and ram it. Get out of here.
You get out of here. We're not going to take it anymore.
We're not going to take it.
That was a cut track from the Guys and Dolls soundtrack.
We are definitely talking about NFL football in this podcast.
Okay, so Goff has very small hands. He fumbles the ball. We already talked about his... It's Goff talk, Joe. It's Goff talk. Respect the Goff talk. So we already mentioned the interception, right? So one of them was
a... We got to do an intro song for Goff talk, like a Sally Jesse Raphael, mm-hmm. or like a Dr. Steve Brule kind of thing.
It almost needs
like a Goff talk.
Like a news, like... You're listening to Goff
Talk.
Goff Talk. So we got those two beats. Other things I want to talk about on Goff Talk, Joe, is what's really holding Goff back? And the offensive line we already talked about. I mean, I feel like that's not helping. But going back to Todd Gurley, because he is a lightning rod of this show, and his knee, I think, is really hurting Goff because, I mean, not just specifically, not directly his knee, but the fact that he's only getting 5 touches, the play action is non-existent, and instead you're just forcing Goff to be this drop back passer. And it almost goes back to his rookie season when Gurley really struggled as well in the Fisher years. And once they got Gurley going again and they established the play action is when Goff really took off. See what I did there? But they're getting away from that. And it feels like the question that we're really having with Coach McVay is where's he going? Like, what's his plan? Like, is this what he wants? Is he kind of like, this is how I want the team to play, or at least it's I want them to execute this vision, or is he just kind of using what the cards he has? Is he kind of like, hey guys, you don't even know what I'm dealing with. Like, I got a bunch of jokers in my hand, and you know, Gurley is in a lot of pain. And It's interesting that he's not just trying to do a play action or trying to push the run game with Malcolm Brown and just putting Gurley on the side. It's just interesting that he just keeps kind of going, no, we're gonna make Goff into this complete 80% passing quarterback, or maybe it's 90%. I mean, I'm not very great at math, but what it all kind of leads to was a question that was bandied about today, which is, it's a little too soon right now, but the question is going to rise up to the surface, is, are the Rams going to regret this Jared Goff contract? 4 games in, 5 games in, 6 games in. I think the question is already being brought up, and maybe it's unfair, sure, but right now we have a loud problem. We got this guy that's being exposed because he's being a quarterback, or he's being the type of quarterback that he's not built for. We've already established what kind of quarterback Goff could be, and it feels like they're trying to make him into something he's not.
I will ask the question my wife asked me at the end of the game when I mentioned that Jerry Goff didn't have a great game, and she looked at me and she said, he got that new girlfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. She said, well, that's all you need to know. How about that? How about that for analysis, folks? He got that new girlfriend, right? Yep. How about that?
That's very interesting, because I remember on Hard Knocks in season 1, and Fisher was gushing about Goff, And I think he actually was talking to Kroenke about it. But they're saying, he's like, oh yeah, he's really focused, he's good. And one of the things that Fisher says, and he doesn't have a girlfriend. And he's just going to focus on getting right and becoming a great quarterback. He doesn't have any distractions. And now he has a boot popsicle on his hands, and he's turning the ball over. I think your wife has a point, Joe.
Stan Kroenke. He got that girlfriend, right? Oh, yeah. He got a girlfriend. He can't manage them $5 billion developments. He got that girlfriend. Stan Kroenke. This game was weird. It was 55-40. It was too much. It was too extreme. It was too weird. I'm not going to take a lot away from it. We get out of this. We go into Thursday, Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. This is not a friendly game. This is part of the problem with losing a game like this, is it opens up losses to everybody. We were unanimous in our preseason predictions. We were unanimous in our game week predictions. We all thought the Rams were going to win this, and we didn't, which means we can lose any of these other ones. What do you think about the course of the team, the Seattle Seahawks? Where are you at now that we've lost this game?
I don't like it. I don't want to play the Seattle Seahawks right now. Sure. I want a bye week. I want to just, you know, forget about the Rams for a hot second. I feel like this Thursday night football game is coming just real fast.
It is.
And when you have a Thursday game after a win, or even in like a loss where you're like, hey, you know what? That's the way the ball bounces sometimes. But this was just three knockout punches to the face in a row. And Seattle's coming in. They're also 3-1, but they have this
only loss to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. And they have this sort of confidence and this swagger that's completely different than what we have. I mean, I feel like Russell Wilson is the sort of MVP candidate. He's being floated about, of everybody's talking about him, like he's this golden boy of the NFL, and you know, he's great. No one's questioning whether Russell Wilson deserves his contract or whether he's great. Everybody's like, nope, he's fantastic. Leave that little guy alone.
Leave that little guy alone.
That little tiny boy in his little satin pajamas. He's fine. Yeah, Russell Wilson's a little freak. It's one of those things where you're in one way, they're playing on the road against a team that everybody can agree is pretty good. So if the Rams lose to Seattle, it's not a panic mashing game.
It's not? Are you sure?
Well, no, I don't think it is. I mean, granted, it's embarrassing, and it's gonna, you know, drop them down on the power rankings, and I think there's gonna be some articles written about how maybe they're not contenders anymore. But all of that stuff is, you know, doesn't really matter. It's not conjecture, you know. It is conjecture. It's your opinion, man. But I think that they could lose this game and still make the playoffs. But sure, it's also sure. Going to say, I mean, to me, what's really more important about this game isn't what people say, isn't what the power rankings are. I think it's really just how the team responds. And I'm really looking at Coach Sean McVay. I really want to see how this guy is going to adjust his game plan, how he's going to evolve the offense, how Coach Wade Phillips is going to respond with his defense. Who are they going to start at middle linebacker next to Corey Littleton? Is Bryce Hager going to play? Are they going to put Troy Reader in? Is there anybody else? I think to me, more than, you know, I think people like to talk about this like, oh, is this a must-win game? Or, you know, what is this going to say about the NFC West and any of that bullshit? It's like, well, yeah, sure, all that stuff matters to a degree. But I want to see signs of where the Rams are going for the rest of the season. And I think this is a big moment because it's a gut check game. They have a short week. They're playing against a rival. They're playing on the road, and it's prime time. So you got some eyes on the team. You got some arms crossed. You got some skeptical viewpoints. I think people are kind of laughing a little bit at Goff. You got some bulletin board material. I want to see them react. I want to see them kind of have some pride. I want to see a little chip on their shoulder.
Robbo, what do you think about Russell Wilson? Great. Thanks, Robbo. Joey, your thoughts on what Robbo had to offer about Russell?
I think there's some salient points. I also agree.
None. Zero. Not funny.